The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's love in his series, The War Is Over. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This is my third week to teach on a subject that I've entitled, The War Is Over. And I tell you, I just believe that this has to be one of the most powerful things that I've ever taught. And I know that sometimes people get offended and think about, well, you like your own teaching. You know, if I don't like it, I don't know why you ought to like it. Man, this has changed my life. These truths are the things that God has just revolutionized my life. If I didn't know these things, I wouldn't be on television. I wouldn't have anything to say that other people aren't saying. This is the heart of things. And, you know, I'd really like to encourage you to get this book. I've got a brand new book out. This is the English. This is the Spanish. I can't pronounce that. But we've got this book now in English and Spanish. This is a brand new release. And then I also have this study guide, The War Is Over. And you can see it's a very thick study guide. It actually has questions and answers in here. It's made primarily to help you teach Bible studies or Sunday school classes. And let me just say that if you have watched this program and have never contacted us, if you've never called, if you've never gotten any product, I'd like to ask you to please get this one. If you've never gotten anything, if you're ever going to get any product from us whatsoever, I believe that you need to get this product. I really believe that. And, you know, we've made it as available as we possibly can. We say it's for a donation of any amount. You know, I believe that most people could give a specific amount if we were to just sell it for that amount. But there's a lot of people who wouldn't, and there's some people who couldn't. Sometimes the people who need the teaching the most are the least able to afford it. So we just say for a donation of any amount. I mean, I don't know how I can make this any more accessible to you. But I really want to encourage you to please get this teaching. It could change your life. This is a keeper. It would change you. And I believe it's got the potential of just revolutionizing your personal walk with the Lord. And that's what God has called me to do. You know, the Lord didn't call me to sell product. That's not what I'm after. I'm after changing people's lives. And I've come to realize that even though the television program is a blessing, and many people tell me about how that they watch every day and that this helps them. Do you know the television program itself is not the product? It's broken up into little 30-minute segments. And it's never going to bring you to the depth of revelation and transformation that you could get if you were to get these products. So really, I encourage you to please get them, study them, let this become a revelation. And plus, if you get the product, see, you can go back over this teaching and you can renew yourself. And you need that. You need to go over and over and over this. It's taken me hundreds, thousands of hours studying the Word to come up with these truths. And in just a week's program, you aren't going to get everything that God has shown me. I can't even share with you everything that God has shown me. But these products go into more detail. Plus, it's a tremendous way to take this truth and share it with someone else. So please take advantage of the products we're offering here on the teaching, The War Is Over. Now, I got up to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2, and I was really emphasizing yesterday that because the offering of Jesus was greater than the Old Testament animal sacrifices, they couldn't work. Therefore, they couldn't purge a person's conscience. But the sacrifice of Jesus did work, and therefore we should have no more conscience of sin. That is just radical. That is too good to be true news, and I guarantee you there's not very many Christians that approach God without some sense of unworthiness and failure and sense of guilt and shame. And if that's so, I'm not saying that if you were to just judge things based on outward deals and look at what we do compared to the sinless perfection of God and our relative holiness, well, then that's an absolutely true judgment. But what is missing is that through the offering of Jesus, we have been sanctified and perfected forever. And some people say, well, that's not true in me. I can guarantee you I'm not perfect. Well, let's look at these scriptures. Again, it was talking about that we should have no more conscience of sin. But in verse 3, this is Hebrews 10:3, it says, but in those sacrifices, the Old Testament law sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and I believe I'd also be correct to say that in the religious system today, in the way it's done, there is a constant remembrance of sin over and over. So in verse 3, it says, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, this is the beginning of a quotation from Psalms chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. And in the Old Testament, these verses were said, this was said, that sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So that's the quotation from Psalms chapter 40. And then he begins to start explaining that in verse 8, he says, above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come in the to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. All of this is Old English in the King James that I'm reading from. It's a little wordy, but it's just quoting a scripture that said that offerings, burnt offerings, sacrifices, those things God didn't have any pleasure in. And then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This was a prophetic scripture written by Jesus. Of course, he hadn't become manifest in the flesh yet. He was still God the Son in heaven, but through prophecy, he prophesied that there was coming an end to this sacrificial system and that God had given him a body and that he would offer himself for the sacrifice, the sins of the whole world. And that's what all this is talking about. So in verse 10, he says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Again, I make this point, and I've made it all of this week, that in Hebrews chapter 9, there's like five times he says that he entered in once and obtained eternal redemption. He entered in once and obtained eternal inheritance. There is one time he entered in. Since man dies once, God once offered himself. The emphasis is on once. The Old Testament offered sacrifices over and over and over. Sad to say, the New Testament church is still living like Old Testament people and thinking that we have to go to God and constantly get cleansed and purged. It was appropriate in the Old Covenant because the animal sacrifices, the blood of an animal, wasn't pure enough, holy enough to take away my sins, but the blood of Jesus was, and so I should have no more conscience of sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 2. And that's what he's talking about, and now he's come up to the 10th verse, and he says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word sanctified here means to make holy or to set apart. We have been set apart, made holy. That's why we're called saints. You know, some churches will just classify a certain segment of the Christian population based on whether they've done certain miracles and things like this. And they classify people into saints and then the others that aren't saints. Even in the Protestant church, there are the clergy and the laity, and there's all of these distinctions. But according to Scripture, if you have made Jesus Christ your personal Lord, you have been sanctified. That word is to make holy. You are a saint, sanctified, if you have been born again. In your spirit is where this is talking about. You may not be acting like it. It may not be reflected in your actions yet, but in the born again part of you, in your spirit, you are sanctified through the one offering of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, I have had some people say, well, that doesn't mean once for all time. That means one sacrifice was made for all people. But every time you sin, you got to go get that sin atoned for, re-redeemed. You got to get it under the blood and all of these kind of statements. Well, just keep reading right here. In verse 11, it says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Notice the context. Remember that man put the chapter and verse divisions in there. This does not mean it's a separate thing just because it's two verses later. In verse 10, it says, you are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then in verse 12, which is in the same context, talking about the same thing, it says, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, not just one sacrifice for all people, but one sacrifice for all people for all times, forever. And now he is seated at the right hand of God, implying the significance of this is that he's not working. He's not reapplying this blood. Jesus died for our sins one time, 2,000 years ago. It's done. It's over. And I know that there are some of you that are just nearly like all of your circuits are blowing. It's like, man, there's breakers being tripped. How can this be? You know why? Because it's so contrary to religion. And, you know, I don't have a good way of easing into this. I don't know how to share the truth that these are sharing and still, without being offensive to our religious system today. I don't know how to do it because our religious system is wrong. Not all of it. There's some very godly people. There's some great churches. I go to churches. I'm a supporter of the church, and I've got friends who are pastors. I believe that the church is a great thing, but not everybody who claims to be a representative for the Lord is representing Him correctly. And a lot of people are really sincere. I know that I was born again when I was 8 years old, and I loved God and sought God. And even after I had this miraculous encounter with the Lord, did you know it took a period of time for me to renew my mind and begin to start saying the things that the Bible says? And so just by default, I was excited about God. God had shown me His unconditional love. But did you know, even though it was the love of God and it was the grace of God that just totally transformed my life, when I went out to try and share that with other people, I started condemning people because that was the model that was given me. And I just had a disconnect here. I couldn't make that. And it took a period of time for me to start realizing that God's Word isn't a club that you're supposed to beat people up with. It's a love letter. It's telling us these things. It sets us free. And it took me a period of time. So the reason I bring that up is to say that our religious system today, I suppose that a lot of the reason that it is teaching contrary to what the Scripture is teaching here, and it is making people sin conscious, and we just have to, every time we sin, feel like we've failed God anew, and we've got to get born again, and we got to go through some kind of recovery that once again puts us back into right standing with God, because we lose our right standing every time we fall short. That is taught so much, I believe, like if it was for me, my situation, it was because I didn't know any better. It was the tradition that I'd been brought up in, and it was just the way I was taught. I'm sure that there's some very godly people who love God who are preaching contrary to this, and some of you are going to have a hard time reconciling this. And I'm just saying, I don't know how to make this transition any easier, because whether it's intentional, whether it's rebellious, or whether it's in ignorance, this is not the dominant message that is being taught today. Basically, it is being taught that every time you sin, it is an infraction against God, even after you're born again, that is going to cost you. That sin has to be paid for. What I'm saying is that sin was paid for already before you even committed it. And God is not ticked off. He's not mad. The war is over. And if you have made Jesus your Lord, you are now in right standing with God, even though you aren't doing everything right. You were sanctified once for all. And that is not talking about all people, but it is talking about all time. And so that's what it says in verse 12, Hebrews 10, 12. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. You know, I could say a lot about that verse. I'm just going to skip over that lest I preach on it. In verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Well, who was sanctified? Verse 10 says that any person who has made Jesus their Lord, you have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And verse 14 says, if you have been sanctified, you have been perfected forever. Not just perfected, you know, for a brief period of time until the next time you sin, until the next time you mess up. You have been perfected forever. Again, I'm just shouting this. I don't know how to say this any stronger than what I'm saying it, but if words mean anything, when you got born again, you were sanctified through one offering, not through multiple offerings, or not through one offering being reapplied over and over. One offering sanctified and perfected you forever. Forever. That means forever. It means for eternity. Once for all eternity, you have been forgiven of all of your sin. I know I'm speaking to people right now who you are born again. You absolutely believe that Jesus is your Savior, that you have God living on the inside of you. You believe that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you die, you go to heaven. And yet you don't have this concept at all. You feel unworthy. You feel that maybe He's not going to send you to hell. He loved you enough to forgive you. But to act like that sin has been obliterated and that you should have no more conscience of sin, no more unworthy feeling, no more shame, no more guilt. It's just like you can't do this. And there's a number of reasons that we feel so strongly about that. For one thing, there is no role model for this other than Jesus. People aren't going to treat you this way. You know what? If you go out and sin, I guarantee you people are going to hold that sin against you. And, you know, I don't know how to say this quickly, so I'm just going to have to say this. Some of you will misunderstand it. But you know what? In a way, that's accurate. When it comes to relationship with people, like if you were the pastor of a church I was going to and if you went out and committed adultery, you know what? I could forgive you, but I'm not going to put you back in. I wouldn't want you to be back in that position of leadership. You need to get out of the pulpit. You need to get your act together. And maybe years later, if you have been so totally transformed, again, I might trust you. But you know what? You ought to step down. You should not be in a position of leadership. I actually had a man who watched me on my television program, and he heard me saying some of these exact same things. And he wrote me a letter, and he said he was a pastor of a church, and he had been going to prostitutes and committing sexual sins for 20-something years, and nobody knew about it. His wife didn't know about it. And he said that he was just dealing with so much guilt that now he had heard me teach on this, and he says, boy, it is setting me free. And so he asked me, he says, so what do you think I ought to do? Well, I wrote him back and I said, you know what? I'm glad that you're finding out that God still loves you and God is not mad at you. But I said, you ought to repent. You ought to quit doing what you're doing. And anything that is hidden, it's like a fungus. It grows in the dark. If you expose it to light, you can kill it. I said, for you to get over this thing, you need to come clean with your wife. You need to tell the church and you need to step out of the church and get your act together. Well, this guy shot an email back to me. Boy, you hypocrite. You can preach grace, but you certainly don't live it. And he said, how dare you do this? You would destroy my wife. And how could I do this to my wife? I shot him an email back and I said, you know what? It's not you telling her that did this to your wife. It's you committing adultery for 23 years and you coming honest with it is the first step towards recovery. And then after that, he says, but what about my church? He was in a church that allowed homosexuals and allowed things. And he says, my church wouldn't ask me to step down. He was in a very liberal church. And I said, I don't care whether the church asks you to step down or not. You got a serious problem in your life. And even though God loves you, and even though I love you, and even though I can say that God, you've still retained your salvation, God's not going to send you to hell. I said, you are reproducing whatever that wrong thinking is, whatever the lust is in you that's caused you to live this way, live this life for 23 years. Whether you know it or not, you're reproducing that in your people. And I just told him, I said, look at your church. I said, I can guarantee you, without you telling anybody that you're committing sexual sin, you look around and there's lots of immorality in your church. There's lots of divorces. There's lots of problems. And anyway, the guy got violently mad at me. But, you know, over a period of time, he came back and he says, you know, you're right. And he says, I see it. And he says, even though God loves me, I need to withdraw. I'm not qualified to be a leader when I've got these serious problems. Now, see, some people see that that's contradictory to what I'm saying. No, when it comes to men, you know what? You do get your sins held against you. If you go out and rob a bank, you could sit there and say, well, I'm a Christian and God's forgiven all of my sins, and so therefore I don't think I ought to serve any time. You know what? It is true that God loves you. And God's not holding it against you. God's a spirit, and He's looking at you in the spirit. And you know what? You are still righteous and holy, and there should, when your relationship with God, you should have no more guilt or shame about it if you really understood the gospel. But you know what? If you just are going to take that liberty and go out and live in sin, first of all, I'd say I doubt that you're truly born again. But if by some slim remote chance you are born again and just want to persist in bank robbery or something like that, well, then I think they ought to put you in the slammer and throw the key away and keep you there until you repent of it, because you're doing people damage and you need to recognize there are consequences to your sins. See, that's not contradictory. There are consequences to our sins. You are going to suffer. But when it comes to my relationship with God, I have been sanctified and perfected forever. Not just until the next time I sin, but sanctified and perfected forever. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12, 14, 15, all of those verses in there, all of my sins, past, present, and even sins I haven't committed yet, have all been forgiven. God is not angry at me. And so in my relationship with God, I should have no more sin consciousness. Now, if I went out and sinned against you, you know what? I need to remember that I've done you wrong, and I need to repent of it, and I need to give you time. It's going to take time for me to build my trust back and to earn back the acceptance and favor of people. And so in my relationship with people, maybe there is a sin consciousness and there even is a purpose. But in my relationship with God, I should have no more conscience of sin. Hebrews 10:2. Man, there's a lot to share. You know, I know that what I'm saying is probably causing as many questions as it is answering questions. But I ask you to just let your heart, you know, in your heart, I know that the born-again part of you is embracing this and saying, man, this is awesome. And then your head kicks in with all of these questions. You know, I'm going to continue to answer this as we go through these programs. I'm going to be dealing with this same thing again next week on our program, so I encourage you to listen in. But let me once again just encourage you to get these materials. This is the reason I offer them, is because I just can't deal and say everything that I need to say in one little 30-minute program. So we've got a brand new book in English and in Spanish. I've got a study guide that's available. And all of these things are to help you get these truths and also to help you share them with other people. So listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today. And then join me again next week as we continue our teaching on The War is Over.
The War is Over is available for the very first time in book form. In 190 power-packed pages, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's unconditional love. This new book can be ordered through bookstores nationwide, or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T326 when you write or call, or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. The War is Over Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T426 when you contact the ministry. This teaching is also available in a 5-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1053C or DVD album T1053D. The third teaching in the audio CD album titled Once for All Eternity is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK130 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries of Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We hope to hear from you today.
Let me just say that this teaching that I'm giving, I know, is a shocker to many people. And even if you've understood this and if you've got the revelation of this, you realize that most people in the body of Christ do not understand this. This is just radically different. And yet it's what the Word says. You know, I'm trying to reach as far with this truth. I really believe that God has raised me up to bring this nearly too good to be true gospel to the body of Christ. And I'd like to ask you to help me do that. You know, it takes a lot of money. I'm not asking this for myself. I'm trying to get the Word out. If you would like to help me do that, please call the number that you see on your screen and inquire about becoming a Gospel Truth partner today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Caris Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Caris Bible College Weekend March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.